And I will try my best. I will try my best. But let's open to the book of Psalms, Psalm 92 specifically. It might be in the notes as well, verses 12 through 15. 12 through 15. And you might be going, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, I'll get there. I'll get there. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, as we study your word, as we meditate on your word, that you would instruct us by your Holy Spirit, and again, that we would be like full of sap, full of life, as we hear your life-giving word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's that verse 14 that really strikes me. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Or as the ESV says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Now, why am I talking about old age? Well, I got a bum knee. I'm starting to feel it. And I'm pretty much all gray and bald. And so children are no longer seeing me as that young, spry man. No, no, he's becoming the old man. At least my children remind me of that frequently. When they're 20 years old, I'm now the old man. But when I go to the psalm, I hear that even the old are full of sap, green, in fact. Now, of course, that is speaking about those who are abiding in the Lord. Those who find their life and strength in the Lord, they are not those that simply become lifeless, but actually, the closer you get to glory, the closer you are to the end of the race, it should vivify us. It should be life-giving, because my reward is soon. That's right, kids, I'm getting old. But I most likely will get to heaven far faster than you. And yes, do I celebrate that? Absolutely, I celebrate that. Does that mean I want to leave and leave my children? No, I want to love people and interact with people as long as God gives me. I want to be full of sap, full of his life, full of his energy, even if my knees bum. I want to be full of life. And you know what's interesting about the Christmas story? Is that it actually is bookended with the old. In the book of Luke, we heard the middle part of the story, but actually, it begins, I'm being very mobile here, it begins with a man named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And if you look at the Christmas story, it ends at Jesus' dedication in the temple with another old man and an old woman named Simeon and Anna. And that strikes me, doesn't it? That the bookends of the Christmas story are bookended with, well, old people. Why is that? Well, we know God is not a respecter of your age. If you're young or old in Scripture, both have value and dignity before the Almighty. In fact, it's said that actually gray hair should demonstrate that we have wisdom. Not necessarily, as you saw in the footing up here. But I think it's important for us to look at these men and these women just briefly. Just briefly. And that brings me to the book of Luke. And that wonderful moment where Elizabeth meets Mary. Mary comes from Nazareth. to her cousin Elizabeth, and you pick up the story in chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted little Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." I mean, what you see very clearly in this narrative is that the joy that the Lord's presence brings, right? Why am I so favored? Well, why would you come to me? Why would the mother of my Lord, very interestingly, she sees right away by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the child that Mary bears is none other than her Messiah. This is the rescuer. This is the Christ. And why is it that you would come to me? And of course, she's very adamant about, when I heard your voice, the baby inside me leaped for joy. But why did it leap? Because of God's presence. Isn't that what it is? It's not that she had more sap than another, but because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the child with her leaped for joy, and she prophesied. Here we are, Christmas. Where is your sap? Where is your life? For the Christian, it is in God. It is in His presence with me. Is He present with you? If you are born of the Spirit of God, who are you filled with? Oh, that's right. God, the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. That should make us quite lively. To know that God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you, you should be lively this Christmas. Are you lively? I know the kids are lively. But you who are old, do you have sap? Does it make you like a child to wonder, God is present with me. He's present with me. Why would He be with me? Why would He love me? Why would He want to put His abode, His presence inside of me? Grace. His good pleasure, as Ephesians chapter 1 says. But that is my hope for myself, that I would be filled even with more joy this Christmas than I was before. More life, more sap, because the living God is with me. Which brings me to the next character of Christmas, the next old character of Christmas, named Zechariah. What we know about Zechariah is he was a bit faithless when he was told the glorious works of God that were about to be done, that your wife will have a child and he will prepare the way for the Messiah. I mean, he's right at the altar of incense. And Gabriel shows up and he goes, nah, that's not going to happen. Faithless. And of course, Gabriel says, I stand in the presence of God. And of course, what happened to him? He couldn't speak, but actually he couldn't hear either. So 40 weeks later, we pick up this story, the narrative in Luke chapter 1, verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, because Zechariah can't talk, right? He's mute. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that again? The Holy Spirit. And prophesied, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he had said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This man has sap. This once faithful man is met with God's faithfulness, isn't he? The Lord's faithfulness comes to Zechariah despite his faithlessness. And that boy, that baby boy who would be named John, happened just like Gabriel said. And his unbelief did not stop God's faithfulness. His failure did not stop God's faithfulness. Are you not glad that your failures, your sin, does not stop God's faithfulness? I sure am, because I would be doomed. But that's the God we see, God that is faithful. And the first response of Zechariah is not such a big deal. Is that what he did? Kids, what did Zechariah do? He praised the Lord, didn't he? He was pretty animated, because if you're praising as a Jewish man, you're moving, right? Your hands are moving, your body is moving, you're practically dancing. We can't do that in Reformed Church, but you can imagine it's pretty exciting because he's filled with God's faithfulness. There's where the sap is. There's where the life is. It's not in him, but it is in God. And his boy will be used by God to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not the last in old people. No, there is a man named Simeon that you find in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you have dismissed your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Isn't that a wonder? Wouldn't you love to have that, ladies? Right? You have your little baby. And it's a baptism Sunday, or it's dedication Sunday if you come from the Baptist tradition. And then a complete stranger comes up, whisks your baby away, and starts going, "Wow!" That's a scary moment, right? You're thinking, this is not right. But did you hear who was actively working in the heart and the life of Simeon? the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, you will see the Messiah. You will see the Christ. In your lifetime, you will see him with your own eyes. And when he does, he picks him up. Here's the hope of Israel. Here's the hope not only for Israel, but for the Gentiles too. Hope for you. Hope for me. Hope for Jews. Hope for Iranians. Hope for the Chinese. I mean, that is the claim that is being made by Simeon. Hope for the nations. But this is God's faithfulness, isn't it? Again, God's faithfulness, faithful to his promises, faithful to David, faithful to the prophets, faithful to Simeon. And here's this boy, this baby boy in his arms. This is the hope of the world. This is the hope for you. This is the hope who will then take his life and bring it to the cross. Because that's where this story goes. It goes to the cross. And Simeon is holding Jesus in his hand. The Savior of the world. What a Christmas, isn't it? But even now, by faith, can we not also hold on to Christ? It's by faith, isn't it? How do you come to this faithful God? By faith, which itself is a gift. Again, speaking of God's faithfulness to his promises. Yeah, he was a man full of sap, just like Zechariah and just like Elizabeth. But then there's the last one, it's Anna. Anna is also Hannah. It's a short version for Hannah, which means grace. My daughter is Anya, that means Hannah, and her middle name is Grace. I bring that up not to embarrass them, but I had two children. They were twins, and so we saw God's grace to us twice. But you see, Anna, she's a neat woman. She's devout, isn't she? She's old. We don't know how old she was. Maybe she's 84. Maybe she's more than 84 because she had been married 7 years and she lived another 84 years after. So that would make her probably into her 100s. But she is an old lady. Kind of old lady that people might not pay attention to because in our society, most likely they would be in a nursing home. But she is in the temple, isn't she? And what is she doing in the temple? She is praying, she is fasting, she is worshiping as she waits for the redemption of Jerusalem, the Messiah, to come. And what is the first thing she does when she meets Jesus? And it seems to be simultaneously with Simeon having the baby and the crowd rushing, and she comes over. And what do we see in the story? Well, I'll read it for you. There were also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, which is the happy tribe. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 17 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple for worship, night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them as they, that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She gave thanks to God. You know, when we celebrate the season of Advent and Christmas, we're not only celebrating his first coming, we're also celebrating his second coming. Anna was waiting, wasn't she? Waiting for the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the saints, for the Christian, for those who have been born again, who have deposit guaranteeing what is still to come, we are waiting for the second advent, the second coming, the making new of all things. I can't help it. I have to be closer. Where all things will be made new, where death will die, and the place of the dead will no longer exist. You see, that's where the story of Christmas is going. It's going to the very end of the story. A new heavens, a new earth, when Christ returns. That's what it should be. It should create an amen in us. Because there's sap in that, isn't there? I yearn for that. That world without end, that gives me joy.
because I saw the world that I grew up in. I went back to California because my mother died. And when I go back to the old places, they're all different. The bakery is no longer there. My house is falling apart that I grew up in. So much has changed. The world is decaying, but I'm not looking forward to a kingdom like that. I'm looking for a kingdom that will never crumble, that will never fade, that will never wear out. Christ has already purchased it in his blood and in his body and has risen from the grave and is ascended and is returning, and he's coming to establish that kingdom which he's already purchased, and I yearn for that day. That's where my sap is this Christmas. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, thankful for your people, thankful for our families, thankful for Christmas presents, thankful for decorations, thankful for singing, thankful for worship, thankful for things beyond measure, thankful that we are loved by you in the most unimaginable way, for you became man. And you dwelt among us, and you laughed among us, and you cried among us, and you suffered among us, and you were murdered among us, only to rise triumphantly that we might have this glorious hope that one day your kingdom will come to its fullness. And we will sing hallelujah. Praise be to God.